All right, well, good morning again. Normally, this is where the really awesome and funny video plays, and we all start finding our way back to your seats. I'm not nearly as funny and engaging as Keith and Tina while this is going on, but if you could grab your seat, I would greatly appreciate it. We're going to ask our ushers, once everyone is seated, we're going to continue to worship the Lord by giving our tithes and gifts and offerings. If you're unfamiliar with our church, we really truly believe that when we give an offering, it really is as much of an act of worship as singing or hearing God's word or prayer. It's just a way of saying, you know what, Lord, I trust you. And that's a difficult thing, isn't it? It's difficult for us to say, Lord, you've given me 100% of everything that you've given me, and I'm going to give back to you any part of that, 10% or whatever you choose to give. But that's ultimately saying, Lord, I trust you that you're going to keep providing for my needs. So thank you for worshiping God in that way. I'm going to ask the ushers to go ahead and take up that offering. Pastor Darren, could I invite you to come on up? I'd just love to pray for you before you bring the word of God for us. Darren is a brother in ministry. He's become a good friend. He's on staff now, in addition to Teen Challenge, also Forest Park Covenant. You're hanging out with those guys over there with Pastor Dave McCowan, another good friend and brother. How do I explain our friendship? God is good. That's probably the best way to say it.
I was going to share this when I came up. He spoke some words of encouragement to me, and I know he remembers. It was just the Lord spoke to him. He said, this is something I don't normally do, but he got up and he spoke, and those words have been powerful in my life, and they have been coming to pass in my life. Mm. And that's why I'm standing here today. That's why I'm back into pastoring, associate pastor at Forest Park Covenant Church, and a pastor at Teen Challenge. So we have been connected together through that, and also through my pastor. They're both members of the MAPS, and so I got reconnected with him through that. So, yeah, I believe that kind of sums up our friendship.
I think that's a good way to do it. And just to be clear, it was not my word that did anything. Amen? They know this, but just it's not my word. But God has done such an amazing work in your life. It has been so much fun as a friend on the side to watch. He is living proof, my friends, that our God restores. Amen? I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward. We're going to pray for the offering. I'm going to pray for you, my friend, if that's all right. And then I would love for you to share God's word with us for a little while, because I can't wait to sit under some good preaching. So I love it. I normally, when Jeremy's preaching, when I'm not here, I usually miss that because I'm on vacation. So it's great when I can hear other great preachers as well, like Jeremy and you guys. So let me pray. Father, you have blessed us in so many rich and wonderful ways. We thank you for all the ways that you have lavished your love upon us. And Lord, I just thank you so much for our giving spirits here this morning. We ask that you receive these gifts in the spirit with which they were given. Use it, Father, to advance your kingdom here in Muskegon, around the world. Lord, may it be a huge blessing into Teen Challenge. I pray that our giving is multiplied by your grace into so many other lives. Father, I pray for my brother Darren now as he's getting ready to open up your word, to communicate your truth to us. And Father, as your word, as your truth has transformed his life, as your word has transformed my life, Father, we just pray and ask that you would transform all of our lives, that we may be a better reflection of you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, bring God's word for us, my friend.
Testing. All right, it's on. It is again an honor to be here today. Truly, I do not take this lightly when I have the privilege to stand and declare God's word to God's people. So this is always an honor for me. Turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Very familiar passage of scripture. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 21 through 24. I'm kind of an old school preacher. I get to the word, I preach the Bible, and then I sit down. Amen? Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 through 24. And it reads, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or the former lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. If I could put a text, or I can put a subject to that text, it would be the process of having a right relationship with God. There is a process in order for us to have that relationship. If it's one thing that the Lord wants us to know today, brothers and sisters, that in order to grow in our service to God, we must have the right relationship with Him first. Amen? Now, I like to say amen also. And if you respond to the amens, I move forward. Amen. All right, yeah, y'all passed the first test. Amen. Having a right relationship with the Lord is the foundation of true spiritual growth. We cannot truly grow spiritually and in our service and in our ministry to God if the foundation isn't right. If you go over to Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about, he gives the example of a man who builds his home on sand. That because it was on sand, when the rains came and the floods came and the winds blew, Scripture says it beat on that house and that house fell. And it fell because it did not have the right foundation. Any people that know how to, is in construction in here today know that you can't build anything on sand. Amen? Amen. And so he gives us a great example is that our right foundation, which is our right relationship with God, will ensure that our service, our ministry to God is sincere, it's real, it's genuine, it's authentic, and it can stand up against whatever comes its way. Is that we're not blown and we're not moved and we're not tossed by whatever comes our way when our foundation is what it should be in Christ. Amen? But in order for us to get the right foundation with Christ, we first of all must have the right relationship. And Scripture, all through Scripture, when we have the right relationship, we grow. When we have the right relationship, God desires for all of us, His children, is that we not be content with where we're at spiritually. We can't be content with where we're at. You know, I used to hear some of the older saints say that I'm not what I should be all the time, but I'm most definitely not what I used to be. Amen? That's a statement of growth. That's a statement of striving to be better today than we were yesterday. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, God wants us to grow up in Christ in all things. What does all mean? All, amen. He wants us to grow up in Christ in all things. In every area of our life, God wants us to grow. Now, I know somebody may be saying, boy, that's an awful tall order, Pastor Darren. But listen, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can grow in every area of our lives according to Scripture. Unfortunately, and I'm talking about the church universally, is that so many Christians today, they grow older. They grow in their time in church. You have 10, 20, 30, 40 years of people that have been in church for a long time, and that's good. Don't get me wrong. So we grow older, but a lot of times people don't grow spiritually. They don't grow in Christ. You know, it reminds me of one who is in school. There's a problem when there's a fifth grader who's only have first grade reading skills. Would you agree with that? He grew older, but he didn't grow in his education. He didn't grow in his intellect as far as learning how to read.
Well, you can apply that spiritually. We grow older, but God says, when you grow older, if you're a Christian, you should grow spiritually as well. But I can help somebody today because spiritual growth or growing in our service is not automatic. It takes a personal commitment to want to grow. It's one thing to know to grow. It's another to want to grow. Amen? And as men and women of God, we should want to grow in our walk with Jesus Christ. We must want to grow. We must want to decide to grow. We must make an effort to grow. Growing in our service and growing in our relationship with God, it takes work. It takes work. It takes prayer. It takes a great fellowship with other Christians. It takes Jesus working and us allowing Jesus to work in our hearts in those tough areas in order for us to grow. God desires for us to grow. And the only way we can have this type of desire that God has for us is that we have the right relationship with Jesus. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to look and see what it takes to have this right relationship. Our scripture text today starts off with telling us the first step in having a right relationship, the first step to that process in having a right relationship with the Lord. And that is making Jesus your personal Savior. The number one step. Verse 21, let's go back to our word. I like to read as I preach. Verse 21 says, "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." We can only make Jesus our personal Savior if we have heard him. That is, heard him speak to our hearts, and we have been taught by him. How do we get taught by him? Through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll say this too. God places people in our lives like pastors and Sunday school teachers and people of that nature to teach us, but we got to be where the teaching is taking place. Somebody say amen. Amen. We have to be in Sunday school. We have to, it's just a little plug for you, Pastor. Amen. We have to be in Bible study. Can I get a witness? Amen. Yeah, we have to be where the word is being taught in order for us to learn how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So the first thing we do is we have heard of him, which he speaks to our heart. And then we're taught by him through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then when that happens, we will know the truth. And the truth will what? King James says, make you free. I love that a little better. You know why? Because when somebody make you do something, you have no choice in the matter. Amen? I love when it says set me free, but I love it more when it says it makes me free. Is that when I know the truth of Jesus Christ and when I'm applying it to my life, when he has hidden those treasures in my heart, I'm free and I have no choice in the matter. Somebody say amen. We must first get in Christ, and then we can learn how to walk in Christ and grow in our service to him. The next step, and I'm not going to be long, is having a relationship, the right relationship with the Lord, is found in verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, and that conversation, that word conversation in this text doesn't mean our conversation with our mouths. It means our lifestyle. It means the way we live our lives. He says we must put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. The Lord is saying, in order for us to grow in our service to him, and in order for us to grow in our relationship and our love for him. See, Romans says nothing can separate us from his love. His love to us.
What about our love to him? See, in order for us to grow in that loving him and serving him and ministering for him, it says we must put off, take off the old man, the old sinful life, the old lifestyle that we used to live. The old man is our life before we accepted Christ as our personal Savior. The old life and the old man is before we have heard of him, that we have learned of him through the power of the Holy Spirit and been made free because we know the truth. That the life before that is the old man. We must put off, one version says, we must lay aside the sinful way we once lived. Now that we're in Christ, Romans 8:13 says, through the Spirit do mortify. That word mortify means put to death. We mortify, we put to death the deeds of the flesh, which is the old man. And we do that by growing and by loving Jesus, by growing spiritually, one day at a time, one moment at a time. We're not satisfied with where we are today. I will hope no one is satisfied where you are spiritually. You should want more and more and more. The Beatitude says we must hunger and thirst after righteousness. Our old habits, our old principles, the old worldly things we used to stand for our old even our old relationships that wasn't pleasing to the Lord, he's telling us in this scripture text to put it off. Lay it aside. Romans 12:2, very familiar scripture. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind. We shouldn't want to live the way the world lives today. We shouldn't be caught up in the same principles that we were in before we made Jesus our personal Savior. Amen? Amen. That's what it means when it says take it off. And I love the fact that it says take it off, because what God is saying is you can't put something new on something old. That's what he's telling us, because we're going to get to what he wants us to put on. The old man is our evil desires that are deceitful and corrupt. Can't grow spiritually, or we can't grow in Christ and in our service to him when we're still holding on to some things. You know, I've been through some rehabs. I've struggled with addiction in my life, and that addiction was heroin and opiates. And the Lord delivered me from that. Amen. But I had been through many secular rehabs, and one of the things that they teach you, and maybe you know this, is that you can't quit everything at the same time. That's too overwhelming. So you can keep smoking your cigarettes. Or if you're trying to quit drinking, you can still smoke your marijuana. That's what they teach you. Because they feel like when you try to quit everything at one time, it's overwhelming. But then I met Teen Challenge. Hallelujah. I met the power of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says, I can deliver you from anything. No matter how the world says it's overwhelming, I can deliver you from anything if you just let me. Can I get a witness? And it ain't just drugs and alcohol. We all struggle with something. Your struggle's not my struggle, but trust me, you have one. And so when we take off the old man, the verse is saying we can't hold on to that stuff. You know, some things are more easier to get rid of than others. Amen? But he said, even that hard thing that's hard to get rid of, you got to let it go. Take it off. But he's not finished. He wants us to take off. And then the next step in having a right relationship with the Lord is in verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The word and is a conjunction. I'm not a real English major, but I do know that much. And is a conjunction, and which means it connects to something. So after we put off the old man, the old way of living, and now we must renew our mind. Oh, glory to God. Now we must renew our mind. Amen. There's a parable in scriptures that talks about cleaning the house or sweeping the house clean. Have y'all ever heard that parable? And the parable Jesus is saying is that a person cleans their house. They get off drugs. They stop smoking cigarettes. They stop doing these things. They literally take the first step. And that's take off the old man. They do. They take it off. But when they take off the old man, they don't fill their house. Can I get a witness? They don't fill it with nothing. And so what happens is the scripture says that the devil that they got, the spirit that they got out of them, comes back and seeing that the house has been swept clean, but is not full with anything, he brings back seven more demons more powerful than he. And he says they take residence. And one part in there that just blows my mind that is so, so true. If you've ever struggled with any addiction, it says the latter of the man is worse than the first, which means he's suffering more now than he did at the beginning of cleaning his house. And that's what happens when we take off the old man and don't renew our mind. We have to change the way we think. We have to change the way we do things in order for us to grow in Christ. A renewed mind is a mind that is made new, a mind that's readjusted, a mind that's changed, a mind that's turned around, and a mind that's regenerated. You don't think the way you used to think. You don't hang around the same folk you used to hang around with. As believers, a renewed mind is a mind that thinks the way Christ wants us to think. Now, that don't happen overnight. Let me help somebody. It takes time. But we should be striving to do what Philippians 2:5 says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I tell the guys all the time when I'm teaching, we're at Teen Challenge because our way of thinking didn't work. Amen. Sometimes we're in the predicaments and the situations and the circumstances that we're in because our way of thinking don't work. We have to think like Christ. We have to ask him to change the way we think in certain situations and in certain circumstances. A renewed mind is one that focuses on the things of God and not on themselves. Growing in our service to God has to start in our minds. The way we think determines how we act. So if our mindset is on the world, we're going to act like the world. If our mindset is on heavenly things, as the scripture says, we will think on heavenly things. We will act on heavenly things. So as I get ready to come to a close, so when we have accepted Jesus, when we have learned of him, when we have heard of him, when we're born again, begin to put off the old man, begin to put off the old sinful way, and then begin to renew our minds, regenerate our minds in Christ, fill our house, we can do the final step. And the final step is verse 24. And that ye put on the new man. Somebody say amen. Put on the new man, which is after God, and is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, I know I'm not perfect. Sometimes you may get this too. Somebody say, oh, he think he holier than thou. Yeah, I am. I'm trying to be. Amen? That's what the scripture's saying. He tells us in his word to be ye holy as what? as I am holy. Holy is just another word for set apart, consecrated. You set apart for the work of Jesus. So he tells us in this scripture that we need to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We should be striving to be holy, striving to be set apart for the work that God has for us. The new man has a right relationship with God. The new man is obedient to God's will. The new man is devoted to grow in his or her service to God. The new man should be totally opposite than the old man. And we cannot do that on our own. We have to have Jesus Christ. The new man assures a new nature, a new character, and a new man has a new conduct. A new man, a new woman has a new lifestyle that we're striving to have. The new man grows in his service to become willing to go wherever God wants him to go and to say whatever God wants them to say and to do whatever God wants them to do. When we grow in our service to God, we put the needs of others before our own. That's one part of, I work at Unity with Pastor Matt, and we work me and my wife and another couple, we work in the nonprofits, and we check in the vendors. And one thing that I love to do and what always stands out to me is how we're there to serve the people. I love that. I love to serve the people. That's one of the greatest things that I see happen at Unity. Everybody that's there with their t-shirts saying serving with joy. Everybody is serving and meeting the needs of those that are there. Well, that doesn't just happen, and it shouldn't just happen at Unity. It should happen everywhere we go. Why? Because we're new people. We're new, born again. We've put on the new man. We've taken off that old nasty stuff. We're asking God to renew our minds and become more and more like him. So I pray that today. I pray that as you heard the message, I pray that you heard God's word, that you renew yourself. That if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, in this world we live in, I think it's a pretty good time to get to know him, to learn of him. Because you've heard of him. I know Pastor Matt preaches awesome messages, so we know you've heard of him. Now it's time to learn of him and to take off the old and put on the new. God bless you.
I was enjoying listening to your sermon. What are we supposed to do next? Do you guys have more music you can do for us?
I guess we can do
one. Are we okay if they lead us in music one more time? Would that be all right? All right.
Thank you.
God is good, amen. I am so appreciative of the message that we put off who we were to put on who Jesus is making us to be. Amen? You guys are going to be back by your table, correct? So I would encourage you guys, if you get a chance, please say hi. Please hear just some of the good work that God is doing in the lives of these gentlemen and through Team Challenge. And really, guys, all of our stories are the same. We were a train wreck. Different kinds of train wrecks, but we were a train wreck. Amen? But Jesus grabbed a hold of us, and our eternity changes. Amen? Would you guys do me a favor? Would you please stand so I can send you out with a blessing? If you guys do have any questions, if there's anything I can pray with you about or for you about, I'll be up here for just a little while. I encourage you to talk to these gentlemen and just hear the remarkable work that God continues to do in their lives. But in the meantime, I send you with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be merciful unto you. And in all things, may he give you peace. Amen. We will see you next week as we continue the study of the Gospel of Mark. But in the meantime, go in God's peace.